Hello and welcome to another edition of the Blue Tuned Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Tuned Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You cannae beat the scran doing it, Marcos. I'm Colin Byers, and with me, as always, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome.
Hello.
Right, this week we'll be looking at the narrow defeat to East Fife. We'll be previewing the home matches against Airdrie and Forfar, and there's a possibility of a new face in at Balmoore. So, Martin, how has your week been?
Yeah, not too bad so far. Yourself?
Not too bad. Just getting past all this gusty weather again. Seems to be a weekly
occurrence. Yeah, certainly does.
Doesn't help for the football, but hey ho, that's another story. So East Fife away on Saturday, just gone past. Unfortunately, another defeat, a narrow defeat. But it was kind of the proverbial game of two halves.
Yeah, there was periods in the first half I felt we struggled defensively. Poor decision making from time to time certainly was evident on Saturday. But the second half, as Jim said himself, was a non-event. There wasn't really that much happened in it. So it's a game that I'm sort of frustrated coming away that we haven't gotten anything from the game, because if we'd done a little bit more, I certainly feel there was definitely a share of the spoils up for grab.
The first half, Peterhead were far better than they were second. Created the chances, kind of score. That's pretty much been summing up the season so far. We've mentioned that so many times this season already.
Yeah, it almost feels like we're a broken record, but we're getting into positions to have the chance. There's just neither the conviction behind it and the confidence to put them chances away.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Well, one of those chances early on did fall to Jack Leach, header inside the box. Jack's struggling a little bit, I think, this season. I think probably coming off the back of his injury he had. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago about his two chances against Montrose, if he takes one of those, we get away with a point, we get away with a 4-4, but he's missed another golden opportunity here.
Yeah, when we sat down about Christmas time, we sort of did our half-season review. I said that Jack Leach was one of my players of the season so far. Since he's come back from his injury in the turn of the year, his form has dipped a little. I think that's due to lack of confidence, whether it be in front of goal. He certainly seems to be a player that if he's in a good run or a good bit of form, then his confidence grows. And I think we're seeing that is quite evident at the moment, that he's struggling. And as a result, not saying he's missing easy chances, because it wasn't an easy chance on Saturday by any stretch of imagination. But I do feel if Jack's got his confidence levels up there, he would bury that header.
Does his lack of confidence seem to come from he keeps getting changed a position? Quite often we see him last season he was pretty much in the number 10 position, or certainly the more advanced of a midfield three. Whereas yeah, this season we've seen him, he's played in the right wing, he's played in the left wing, he's played centre midfield, he's played in that number 10. I think he's even played at striker at one point. So is that a possible reason, you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, it certainly wouldn't help every week playing a different position. You would like to have a position of your own, and you know week in, week out that you're going to be playing there, and you know what your game, because every position you've got to adapt your game slightly different. So from one week to potentially playing the right wing to the next week playing the left wing, that's not going to help. But like you said, he's a player that, to me, when he's confident and on form, he is one of our best players on the team, I personally feel. So the sooner we can get him back to that sort of levels, it would benefit us.
And I think he's much better as a number 10. Playing him on the right wing, even playing him in a centre midfield, I think that's too deep for him. He needs to be more advanced.
Sometimes feels he gets lost in that little midfield cluster. I do prefer, like you, just buying that striker, to me, is his best position. Yeah. And I think we get the best out of him in that position as well.
That's it. So, we'll say he did miss that chance. There was another early goal we've conceded. Again, that's something else we've mentioned a few times already this season. The goal itself is so preventable. And I know you could probably say that about every goal. But this one in particular is very, very preventable. We'll look back at it, and I'm sure Jim will look back at it, and the players will look back on it, and they'll say they probably could have done better. It's just a simple clearance for the the East Fife defender, and it's found its way to Scott Agnew, who's got acres of room in midfield.
Yeah, and I think he plays the ball through that eventually leads to the goal, but the root cause of that is we've got midfield players there, they're all running back, but no one's gotten close to Agnew in midfield. He's like allowed to pick his head up and pick out a good pass, it's to be said, but the frustrating point from our side is the amount of room that he's got to play that pass.
We've got five midfielders playing, and obviously with Derek Lyle, all six were in the East Fife half, which is okay. Which is you might think, well, we're getting at them, but you've got six players in the East Fife half, and then all of a sudden, the defence is exposed. The gap between the defence and the midfield was about a 20-yard gap between Scott Brown and defence. Scott Brown was the deepest one at the time, and he was still 10 yards inside the East Fife half. You just needed somebody to be a bit more disciplined.
Yeah.
And looking to say, right, I need to hold my position here. Because, as I said, Agnew just picks up the ball, and he has time to control it, go for it, 10 yards further forward, and slip in a great pass. You just need somebody to be there.
Yeah, as you said, against another early goal, we often speak about, you know, try to play our way into a game. So we've got six players in the East Fife half. We're looking at attack, but you sometimes need to be disciplined in the park and say, look, we're only 15, 20, 25 minutes in the game, and work your way into the game. It's maybe at the point, I wouldn't say the players are panicking or anything, but they're wanting to score that first goal. They realise how important it is in games, but they're maybe trying to force it a wee bit too much, rather than thinking, okay, it's early on in the game, let's play our way into it. And I think it's led to that. It's almost like defence we attack, because the midfield's sort of gone, and in the end we end up conceding a poor goal from it.
Yeah. And again, we spoke about Fleming last week, and his decision making to come out. He's done the same thing again here. He's sort of rushed out, but what he's done is he's rushed out and then stopped.
Yeah.
Thus, giving it the striker a much easier chance, if that makes sense. He's made the striker's mind up for him.
Yeah.
Rather than just, because he's not actually going towards goal, he's actually going slightly wide.
Mm-hmm.
If he stays within his goal. Because I think Edie was tracking back. I think Edie would probably have gotten there to help him out. He just needs to all about his decision making again.
Yeah, it's the ball's played through and the striker's going away from goal at a slight angle. And I think Greg comes out initially, he thinks he can get it, then he realises he probably can't, and then it's that half a second that he stops, but then he continues to run out. At that point, if Fleming stops, I think the striker would be sort of almost a wee bit confused as well. He's got a decision to make. But the fact that Fleming's come running out sort of makes the striker's mind up for him, that he's just going to put it under the goalkeeper. Very little the keeper can do. If Fleming doesn't come for it, I think the boy's got to be shooting for that sort of angle on his left foot. I think he'll try and play it back inside or do something different. So again, it's all about decision making. There has been little points this season where Greg, you know, he's very good at his penalties and he'll pull out some fantastic saves. It's just that little bit of decision making. It's maybe magnified more by the fact that a goalkeeper's the last line of defence and you pick out these errors more frequently, but it is something that we maybe need to look at going forward, how that can improve.
It's more magnified the fact as well that we've lost the game. Had we went on and won the game, we probably wouldn't have been mentioning it as much. The fact that error is maybe not necessarily an error, but his decision making has cost the team. I know, as I said, it was preventable before it got to that stage. But you know, if he makes a better decision, if he, you know, doesn't come rushing out like that, he doesn't get the score, and then that's the only.
It was just a chain of poor split second decision making on the park. That goal on Saturday is not something you can work on in training or anything. It's decision making about potentially being lack of discipline early on in the game. Greg coming out thinking he might himself think he'd been better staying in his line. Hindsight's a great thing. It was just little key decision making things in the game.
I will say though, second half he did have a couple of good saves to keep it at 1-0. In particular, there was a free kick, I think it was for Agnew again. So I mean, it's things like that, because you know he's a good keeper,
There's no doubt in his goalkeeping ability. It's just the decision making from time to time.
Yeah,
is the issue.
It's the issue. But I mean, after that, East Fife really didn't create much at all for the remainder of the game. They did have a couple of headers from corners. I didn't think they were. I wouldn't say. I mean, we've played everybody at least twice now, and I wouldn't say they were any better than what we've played against. If that makes sense. I know they're higher up in the league, but that's probably because they got so much points early on.
Yeah, it's potentially a slightly false position that I'm going in their form. we've spoken about that with a few teams lately, but like you said, they weren't any better. I feel if we'd gone into that game on the back of a win, you know, the week before, or the luck came building up to it with confidence, that is certainly a game that we could have got something out of.
Yeah. I mean, we won one last time down there, but they played a hell of a lot better in that time. We got a point out of it, whereas this time, I don't think they played as well, but we've lost. It just seems to sum up the kind of the season that we've had so far.
We're just needing a break somewhere along the line.
Exactly,
to help us out.
But I mean, Peterhead themselves, some of the football they were playing first half was nice to watch. Seemed to be linking up quite well. Lyle again seems to be the focal point for all of that. But again, we talk about decision making at the back. Sometimes the decision making in the final third as well has been contributing to the fact that we haven't been scoring enough goals. It's almost like they're snapping these chances now.
Yeah, it's that sort of situation where you feel that they're desperate to score a goal, so rather than taking that extra touch to get in a better position or leaving it for a player in a better position, they've got the opportunity and they're wanting to take it. Brown did a good left-footed effort. It was a good save by a keeper, actually. Lyle, he had a chance as well. He's sort of leaning back. He's maybe not quite seen it. When it's coming across, he's put out wide. There's Jack's header. If one of them goes in, you know, it's easy to say now it's a different game, but it really would have been, because that gives you the confidence to go and build.
There just seems to be a lack of sort of conviction, or the lack of confidence that they've got at the moment is really starting to be a bit well.
It's weird because I don't feel that we're playing that bad.
No,
we're just not scoring.
The football that we were playing first half in particular was really good. It was really good to watch, but it's just getting that final piece of the jigsaw.
Because even, obviously, the game that the week that got abandoned, we were against the wind for the first half hour, but I didn't think we played bad.
Oh, we're far and away the better team.
You know, so it's frustrating. It's like, as it comes down to goals, and that's the area that we're lacking at the moment.
Yeah, and is the weather kind of deteriorated second half? So did kind of the football, really. It was bunch and such were a non-event really second half.
Yeah, sort of petered out a wee bit.
It did kind of peter out. So there was no. Overall, yeah, we were kind of encouraged by the performance as such first half, but the need to score becomes even more apparent now as the games get less and less.
Yeah, what is it? We're down to 12, 13 games left to go.
Games, yeah.
You know, it's a massive week coming up. And it's, yeah, like it's a big week, and because of the position that we're in, that we've got these games. You know, we've got Forfarns and Rar coming up at the end of next week. That's the games that, based on the way we're performing, you've got confidence going into. I know it sounds strange when we're speaking about lack of confidence in the team, but the way, it's not like we're playing really bad and we're making defensive errors, conceding all the time. I think there is positive to take, although it's a defeat.
We've got 12 games to go. We still probably need another 15 points, which is 5 wins, which might sound pretty simple and straightforward, but if we can get at least 2 wins out of the next 3 games next week, I wouldn't say we're safe, but we're pushing in the right direction. We still obviously have to play everybody again in the final round of matches. But you'd rather have more points on the board now than trying to chase.
As the games come down in number, it also put pressure on Forfar and Stranraer to get wins as well. So again, they'll try and force the issue a bit more.
And having to play them both twice as well means it's kind of in our hands a little bit.
it's almost a blessing and a curse that you've got them so close together, depending on how the results go.
And it could be 10 times worse if we lose both those games as well.
Yeah, it's a situation that we never want to plan to be in. We certainly want to, I think 7 points, if we can get that, we'd be in a very good position. Done as such, but certainly much better than what we are at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, 7 points, it would certainly put you on the right path. But we have to wait and see. It's a big, big week in terms of the season, and overall in February we've still got a long way to go, but it's the biggest week of the season, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we said this last week, that this the games coming up with Airdrie, Forth and Sunroar would sort of be quite pivotal on where we're going to end up.
Yeah, that's it. So on Saturday we there's a potential we could have a new face playing. Word going around today, at the time of recording anyway, it wasn't finalised, but we'll the name Luke Bolan should be signed from Aberdeen on loan. Young centre back was a position that we thought we needed an extra body in, especially with
Dunlop
going. Thank you very much. I completely forgot his name just now. Out of sight, out of mind. Going in the window. Young man. He's got to be 20 this week. So he's at that kind of age where he's probably needing first team football.
Yeah, that's exactly it. He's in the Aberdeen development squad at the moment. His contract's up at the end of the season, so it's certainly a time for him to maybe put himself out there and realise, and see what he can do, aid his development as well. So if we do, obviously it's at the time of recording when I got it confirmed, but if we do get him in, I think it'd be a good bit of business.
He has, he was on loan last season at Cowdenbeath in League 2, so he did come up against Peterhead a couple of occasions last season. Played 13 times. I believe he was sent off in his debut for Cowdenbeath, which I obviously not knowing what he was sent off for, but he did go on to play another 12 games for them. Son of Gary Bolan, who is Cowdenbeath manager, I think, as well. So obviously there's the connection there. But I'd say, weirdly, he's the third player that we've signed in the winter window Jim tried to sign in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, it shows you that Jim's got his targets lined up, and it goes to show you he won't stop until he's got his players in the door, that's for sure.
And the reason why they all turned Peterhead down was because they all wanted full time football.
Yeah.
They've now spent 6 months somewhere else, and now they've ended up at Peterhead anyway. I think they're on loan.
Yeah, I mean, they probably realise if they're not getting game time at the clubs that they've gone to, then the chance to play football, albeit part time football, it can only benefit them if they get to play.
So we'll look forward to seeing that one getting completed. One other bit of business last week was young Daniel Dimoff went on loan to Turriff or Turra, depending on your where you're from. He's obviously gone and getting game time as well. When he did sign, Jim did say straight away that he'd be going on loan to a Highland League team. I think it's just taken a little bit longer than what was expected. What do you think of the choice of team that he's gone to?
I think I maybe says it all, but it's a bit of a surprise, because they're not exactly sitting ahead of a light in the Highland League. It's a team that's struggling, so I'm surprised that they've put him to a team that's struggling so much. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side, that could help his development even more. If it's a team that's struggling, he might be able to be that player to drive them out of it. You never know.
So we'll keep an eye on him, see how he gets on. He did get off to a losing start last weekend, which, if you keep an eye on Turriff's results, is not much of a surprise, but you never know. He might turn things around. So on Saturday we've got Airdrie at home, possibility that Luke Bolan might be starting if all things go through. So what are we expecting from this one then?
A tough game. We played them up here October time, and for large periods of that game I thought we were the better team. There was a 20 minute spell in the first half. Again, it comes down to just not taking more chances. The story of the season. But twice we've given away penalties in both the games this season. So again, if you cut out the mistakes and defensive errors, I feel that there's definitely a result that we can get. I'd probably take a point, you know, going into such a big week. If you can get a point out of that game, I'd be quite happy with it.
Well, we have lost 2-1 twice so far.
Yeah.
Both home and away, so we need to get something out of it. The referee is Barry Cook. We haven't had him this season. And out of his 10 games he's done in League One, he's only given 2 penalties.
That bodes well for us.
So that bodes well for us, the fact that Airdrie's going to get another one.
Does he know that it's windy at Balmoor just in case?
Just in case. Well, we've got Storm Dennis going past. We may have another one next week. You never know. But Airdrie's form, we say this every week with every other team, it is patchy. They've drawn 4 out of the last 8. And lost 2 and won 2. So again, it's a team that,
anybody depends, can beat anybody.
Yeah, it depends which Airdrie turns up, I guess, on this one.
Also depends which Peterhead team turn up.
Yes.
So cat and mouse proverbial.
The other good bit of news is that Jamie Stevenson could be back from his injury as well. So there's going to be a selection problem.
A good problem to have.
Yeah, he's going to have almost a full complement of what he does at the back. Obviously, he played Edie alongside Hooper. The chances are, if Bolan does come in, he'll probably start.
He'll go straight in.
You think he'll go straight in. So, obviously, one will have to drop out. Jason Brown might be back in again, because that seems to be what he does. He drops him for a game and then brings him back in again. So does he play it right back, or does Hooper play it right back? So there's a few different kind of questions he might have to answer before the team sheets come out. So it'll be an interesting team sheet we'll get.
Yes, certainly think so.
We'll see what happens. But one thing, one more thing I want to mention about the Airdrie game is Ian Murray, the manager. And I'm mentioning this because last time they were up at Balmoor, we were actually in the stands that day.
Yes.
And if you remember, Ian Murray spent quite a bit of the game not in his dugout, not inside that box, but he was everywhere other than where he was supposed to be in that technical area. To the point where he was actually on the field of play.
Yeah, for a while we actually thought he was playing right wing.
He was actually playing. And he was actually on the park while the game was on the go.
Yeah.
And that's obviously encroaching.
Yes.
And somebody needs to kind of look at that. The other reason why I mention it is because the guys from the Stranraer podcast, It's No Easy, hello guys if you're listening, they mentioned it the last time that Stranraer and Airdrie played as well, and they picked up on it as well. So it's obviously not a one-off. And it's something he obviously must be doing on a regular basis.
Yeah, he's got form of it. I mean, this is only a couple of occasions that we are made aware of it. But you would think that there's officials, you know, there is one on the near side, there is also the referee. You would think that they would take action. There's maybe a reason why they don't. You know, has he got this standing within the game that allows him to do certain things? He can just please himself? I don't know, but you would think if he's spotted out with I know managers and coaches don't always stay in their dugout area, but to encroach on the pitch whilst the game is in play, you know, the manager sets an example for his team, and if you see the manager doing that, you know, it doesn't set a good precedent.
I know we don't have fourth officials in League One, but surely it would be,
but you've got an assistant referee, he's looking up the line quite a lot during the game as well. He must see that his vision's impaired by coaching staff of other teams and not being on the pitch.
We should maybe get Craig Keir doing it just to get him sorted. Maybe that would be the thing to do, wouldn't it?
A fella out in the mess with.
I've got a couple of big lads there having a faith in the dugout for absolutely no reason. So that's something to keep an eye out on Saturday, see if he does it again. I'm pretty sure he will, because he does have this kind of reputation of being quite outspoken and flaunting the rules as such.
But he's still got to abide by them.
Yes. And obviously, after that game, we've got Forfar on Tuesday, which is the rearranged game from a couple of weekends ago because of the weather. Now, we'll be looking forward to see our new pal, Bobby Barr.
Yes.
See if he's going to be played. Stephen Reid's going to be the referee for that one again.
Oh.
So it's the fifth time we've had him. Obviously, he abandoned it the last time he was up. It's a Tuesday night. It's maybe going to be too cold for him this time. He's going to get his thermometer out and say, oh, it's too cold. I'm going to want him again. But again, Forfar's form has been pretty poor. They've actually lost 5 of the last 9. So that's... It's maybe just playing them at the right time. They did get a draw against Stranraer in the last outing. Which was a good result for us, because obviously that means that they're taking points off of each other.
Yep.
But this is a Tuesday's game. I don't know if we're going to say go too far ahead and not think about the early game, but Tuesday game is probably a big, big game.
Probably the biggest of the season so far, I would certainly think. You know, we could sit here and play it down and say, oh, you know, we'd take a point. Absolutely not. The position that we're in, and also Forfar, games are running out as well. It's a game that we've got to get 3 points in on the Tuesday against Forfar.
We definitely need to get the 3 points out of that one. Regardless of the early result, we need to beat Forfar.
They fussed about performance against Forfar. It just says solely 3 points in getting it.
I know. I would take an East Fife as such and just get a goal and then win 1-0. I'd be quite happy with that. It just means that gap is going to increase, because it is down to 2 points now.
Because they'll probably think the draw against Stranraer is a favourable result for them as well, because it keeps Stranraer just at bay and also gives them a point which claws it. Obviously, Clyde got beat. We got beat, so they'll be quite happy with that point.
I think both of them will probably look at it and say, well, actually, we've got a point, and it's a point closer to Clyde and Peter Reid. Whereas we are thinking, right, that's a point for them. That's okay. It keeps the gap slightly. I mean, the gap is only 2 points now.
But at the same time, it's nae, you know, four first draw with Stranraer, but we've then got to go and follow up by beating the two of them.
Yes.
In the next coming week.
Yes, that's exactly what we need to do. 2 wins out of those 2 games. It's definitely what we need. It might shuffle the pack before that one as well. I would say as well, and having played 4-5-1 last Saturday, for the 2 home games against Airdrie and Forfar, I'd be looking to play 2 up front. I think we need to attack them.
Yeah,
it's probably not what he's going to do, but I would like to see, you know, 2 strikers, Lyle with either Boyd or Smith or somebody as a partnership.
Yeah, we've complimented before that we look at a lot better with 2 up top. Whether it goes against the energy, I'm not so sure, but certainly against Forfar, best form of defence attack. We do struggle defensively with decision making and whatnot, so the best way to go and combat that is by in 2 up top.
It's going to attack
yeah.
So we're going to get 2 predictions for you then, ALJ and the 4-4 game.
Yeah, because my predictions have been spot on this season. Predictions, I would take a point against Airdrie, so I'll go 1-1 and 2-0 against
4-4. Yeah. I'm going to say 2-1. The Airdrie game, I'm going to say which way around it's going to be. I'm just going to say 2-1. And I think we could probably run out, I wouldn't say convincing winners against 4-4. But if we play to the way we can, and in the way that I know that they can, I think we could probably run it pretty convincing winners. 2 or 3-0, I would go with that one. A clean sheet as well would be an absolute bonus. And just gets that goal difference down slightly as well, and increases theirs.
If we got a clean sheet and a 2 or 3-0 win, what a massive confidence boost that would be throughout the team, and the club as well, given the position that we're in.
And then that confidence boost going into the next game as well.
Yeah, so massive week.
Big, big week. I mean, we can't we kind of downplay any at all. It is a massive, massive week, massive 7 days coming up. So we're looking for as many points as we can.
It will be interesting to see the team sheets. You know, three games in 7 days. This level's pretty unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what team he goes with per game.
But I'm confident that there's the depth now there. That
yeah,
we can
shuffle
things about a bit, and we can shuffle things about a bit in terms of formation as well.
A couple of changes, we didn't become a weaker team.
No.
You know, maybe start of the season that was slightly the case with injuries and suspensions about September time. But certainly if you make a couple of changes now, you've seen on the bench on Saturday, there is players there that can come on and make a difference.
Yeah. And as you said, it's not very often we play sort of three games within a space of 7 days. Normally you would have probably gone, right, he's going to be playing, but he's only going to play 45 minutes of that game, so he's only going to play 45 minutes of the next one. Or
yeah.
If he plays that one, he's then going to play the next one. He's going to play the two set of the games. But this time round, with the squad we've got, I think we're much better equipped.
Yeah, certainly, and I think it's... as I said, it's a big week, and I'm sure that the players will be aware of that as well. So those that are picked, you know, you'd like to think that they'll give their all when they go out and play.
That's it. We'll give it their all, as we will be on the pitch side as normal. I'm getting called Specky by somebody at some point. So on that note, that'll be it for another edition of the Blue Team Podcast. My thanks goes to Martin for his input as usual. Our thanks go to our sponsors, Marco Chipper. And our thanks also go to you guys for listening as usual. Thanks again, and we'll see you all again soon. Cheers.